Welcome to the Sugar Grape Show. My guest today is the lovely Angela Mona. She's such a fantastic artist. We just came out with a brand new song called Guess Who. We actually got to know each other through an app called Voicy. And it was so cool when we first met. We were talking back and forth about a beat that I put up there that was originally called Sangria. It was actually from a sample that I got off of a record in East Europe. It was some like kind of, I don't think it was Armenian record, but it was, I think, a Russian record, and it had this crazy guitar loop that I distorted and just kind of, add some flavor to it. And so she jumped on it on Voicy and I absolutely loved it, you know. So I hit her up and she was just like, hey, I really like your stuff, specifically this track. And then I, approached her, pitched her, was like, hey, would you like to jump on it? Let's make a track together. And so she did, and she just killed it. She's just amazing artist, an amazing person in general. Like, I love the conversations that we have, and you're gonna see it and listen to it on the podcast. And she's just a great person. I can relate so much with her. And I had such an amazing time with this episode. Hey, how's it going?
It's all right. It's cool. I'm just in LA, out and about. So
yeah, just are you shooting anything, or you're just kind of
no? Visiting? I went to this specialist yesterday for my heart.
Whoa.
Yeah, because something happened with my heart when I got sick.
Uh-huh.
And I got it checked. They said it's heart arrhythmia.
Okay.
And it can either be from the vaccine or from that antibiotic that I took. So I don't know, but either way, like, I'm fine now. It was so random. Like, at random moments of the day, my heart would start beating fast and I would get chest pain and I would have to lay down and breathe in and out slowly. Wow. Like, just very random. And that happened for like 3 days. So went to the hospital. They said there's nothing wrong with me. So I went to this clinic. My aunt took me there and they're like, oh yeah, you have arrhythmia. Like, that's normal in a lot of people, but just get it checked, whatever. Like, don't think too much about it, cause it'll get worse if you do. So, but I'm fine, dude. It's good.
So is that like a condition of like not repetitive beating, but is it like irregular beating?
Yeah, it's kind of like palpitations, but worse. Okay. So either your heart can go slow or your heart can go fast.
Wow. And
yeah, I don't know. I'm not supposed to have that. Like, I'm young.
Right. Dude, you're so fucking young. And it's like,
hey, granny.
Hello.
Oh, huh. Yeah. God is Dennis. Okay. Yeah. So granny's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So grandma lives in LA?
Yeah, she lives in North Hollywood. It's the senior citizen apartment.
Okay, yeah.
So she lives here, and I'd visit her here and there. Like, if I have anywhere to stay, like, I would stay with her. It's no problem.
Yeah, grandmas are honestly the best. My grandma just passed this late year, but it's just crazy, man, just about how you, like, just get to know your grandma, right? Like, you know her beyond what they are, you know, when you see them as a grandma. You see them as a person and at a certain point. And so I think that's exciting that you still kind of have that relationship with your grandma. It's like you guys are like almost like visiting every weekend and just kind of getting to know one another. Besides, you know, especially when you get older, when you're a kid, you just, you know, they're taking care of you. They're, you know, nurturing you. But when you get older, there's a point that I feel like you talk serious moments of their life. And it's just, I think it's great, especially with older folks.
I'm sorry to hear that, though.
Yeah. That was it was a rough moment for that time, because, like, I was the only family member down here. Everybody's up in Washington, or I do have family down in South California, but they're just so far away. But I got to see the last days of my grandma, which I never regret. It was like the best. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, luckily with us, we can write a song about it. Or, you know, I mean, being artistic and stuff. But yeah, I feel like especially your art, which is like, it's amazing. I feel like you write a lot of like what you go through and just even like resemblance of something that you experienced that you're able to paint it in a, you know, in a musical song.
I wish I met my other grandmother. We never met her. She passed away before we were born, my brother and I. She's my dad's mom. She died of a heart attack in her 50s and we didn't get to meet her.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I've known my grandfather's, my mom's stepdad who taught me how to paint. He was like this incredible artist and we still have his paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so good at math. He was like a really smart guy from Boston. It was so cool. And yeah, I've known him for a long time. My dad's dad, who was a veteran in World War II, he was a cool guy too. Like he would always wear these cool suits and these loafers. And right. Like he's this tall, skinny guy. And like, he would just come in and like, I remember when I was like six and sitting next to him, he would like share the craziest war stories to a 6 year old. Like he would talk about how the army was and how it was like being in the Armenian army and like being in Russia and this and that. I'm like, what? Like, I was just confused. Like, I didn't get it, but it was cool. He would bring me jewelries and it was nice. Grandparents are different.
Very different. It's either what I've heard. It's like either or. Either they're like very strict or they're like very like funny, loose. Yeah, they're just like, you loose, know?
Yeah. You get, it's chill. And they also let you get away with everything. I don't know what it is. Like if your parents are yelling at you about something or they're telling you, no, you can't have this, you can't do this, the grandma just kicks in and she's like, no, I will get that for you. I will do this. Like it's low key spoiling, but they're doing it out of love, you know?
For sure. They're not trying to like sabotage their own kids for, you know, make their, you know, grandkids spoiled. But no, I think it's just love. Like with my grandma, the love we got from her was it was unbelievable. It was like one of those like she didn't care who you were, what, you know, she just loved you who you were. And that, I think that was the best part about it, is like to have that. And even from like, you know, your own parents, you're just like, man, why can't you love me as much as my grandma? But they obviously do. It's just they have to take care of your ass and make sure you're safe. I mean, your grandparents do, but I feel like it's just a whole different love, a whole different kind of relationship that makes sense. But yeah.
What you been up to lately?
Man, we just finishing up projects and just kind of catching up on stuff, just trying to figure out what direction I want to go with. It was actually kind of funny. I don't know if you get this sometimes. It's like people ask you, what kind of artist are you? Or what direction do you want to go with your I guess your persona in a way? Have people asked you about your direction of where you're going to want to take Angela Mona?
Oh, well, yeah, I get asked that a lot. Is that what they ask you?
Yeah, like recently I got asked, it was like, are you, what are you? Are you an artist or a producer? I was just like,
both.
Yeah, I say a little bit of both.
You're a creator, dude.
Like, right.
There shouldn't be, I get why people see the distinction between them, but either way you're creating, whatever you create, that's art. So regardless, that's what people ask me too. They're like, what are you exactly? Are you like, how do you classify yourself? And I'm just like, I create shit. Like, yeah. It's mostly an artist. I'm not a producer. I suck at production and I suck at mixing. Like I do my best with mixing and it's still like, I got to reach out to someone like you or someone else and be like, hey, listen to this. Can you do this? Can you do that? Cause I just record, I just write, I write a lot. I make videos, I produce videos, I direct videos. Like that's just what I do.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I would just say an artist, creator.
I like that round of being an artist. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, you know, when you're an artist, There's not, you mean, you could go into art, physical art. You can go to, you know, being a singer, songwriter and stuff like that. Yeah. You don't label yourself. Kind of like.
Art can be anything. Art can be anything.
Right.
Shaving your legs can be art.
Yeah. that's an interesting art, but just imagine.
Eating is an art, Raul. Like eating, sewing, vacuuming, people that clean pools. That's art. You know, people have different skills. That's art. There's different forms of art, and it shouldn't be mainly just entertainment and paintings or sculptures or architecture. There's different ways of art, if that makes sense.
Do you ever get envy of people that have simplicity thoughts? Like, for instance, you know how like with us, with art, we're very so hard. We're very like specific, very detail oriented. But there are some people that are just like, they're like, ah, whatever. You know, they're very simplistic. Do you ever envy that?
I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Like people that are harder themselves, like harder. And there's artists that are like, ah, oh, fuck it. You know, is that what you mean?
Well, for me, I come from a small town. So I envy the people that stay in that same town and they just love their life. They work at the grocery store 9 to 5. They have their kids softball afterwards and they go there. I envy that because I wish I can have that. I wish I can have that simplicity of life. But me, I'm just like, I want more. I want, you know, with music and everything else. It's just like, it's addictive in that sense.
That's exactly how I was. When I graduated high school, I was so determined to move to the city, be in LA. Like I thought, oh, I need an A&R. I need a producer, like get into music, this and that. But that's not how it works. That's right. Not how it always is. You can grow in music from your town, from whatever small city you're from. I'm from Wildomar. No one knows where the fuck Wildomar is.
Yeah,
man, like I'm from Wildomar. People ask me, where the hell is that?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, it's in Riverside County. It's by use, like I have to explain it. And when I came to LA, by the way, I thought it was gonna work out. It didn't work out. It's just not me. I'm not a big city person. I can visit in LA, but I can't live in an apartment. An apartment is not for me. Like traffic and parking tickets and people that aren't your friends and music people scamming you and you don't know who to trust. It's like, dude, what the fuck? So you can grow in your small city. I know a lot of people that work in grocery stores. I know a lot of people that work like 9 to 5, retail, fast food, and they still do what they love to do. You know, I'm a music teacher that's considered a 9 to 5, but it's a part-time music teaching job. And I plan on teaching private, like eventually in the long run, but I can still do music. I can still grow my art. It doesn't have to be so much, but yeah, you can aim for more, but don't overwhelm yourself with stupid shit. Like you have to, there's people in, I don't know, a city like Idaho. They're like, I have to move to New York or LA to pursue this. You don't have to move and go into that crazy life. It's not for everyone. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Hands down. I've seen many, many people come here and they leave like within a month. And it's just like, because they're just, it's hard. It's very, very fucking hard. And guess what? You're coming from a Mecca. What I love is I see people that are in the small market and they think they're the shit until they go in the big market and they're just like, yeah, they're out by a week and they go back to their, you know, the old market. But I'm fine with that. But I hate it when people want to dog shit LA. It's like, well, you just didn't make it or you just didn't get it lucky. You know, it's okay. You can go back to your old hometown and then start again and just recoup. And which is nice is you never gave up. You're still going. You're like, fuck it. You know, I could always drive to the city. There's no problem with that.
Yeah, I remember, dude, I don't know if I told you, but 2019 was like that year of painful realizations. And I realized so much about people and about me. Like I've become more self-aware and like more observant of my surroundings. And I'm just asking myself, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing here? You know, like, and I don't know. I lost all hopes and dreams at that time. I got really sad. I got upset with myself. I made a lot of mistakes, and I just hated because I came here to LA with mom, right? We're living in this shitty apartment, trying to pay rent. It's the cheapest rent in LA that we could find with no utilities paid, right? Like everything's free, but it's a shitty apartment in Glendale. And I was going to this A&R and this producer and thinking, oh my God, like they're developing me and I'm paying out of pocket.
Yeah.
I don't have a contract signed. I didn't think through. I didn't think that this is a possible scam. I didn't think that they were just taking my money and they didn't give a shit about me. And they were trying to mold me into something I'm not. You know what I mean? I just thought, no, this is it. Like this guy discovered me and he developed Sade. He worked with Stevie Wonder. People can say shit. People can say bullshit just to impress you. But I didn't think that at 19. Like I was stupid. And I don't know, that's what killed the LA experience for me. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, you know, I mean, coming from a small town, it's different. If you don't have that support group, if you don't have that team yet, or, you know, you're going at it alone, it's going to be hard. It's way difficult. So I was like, mom, let's go back. Like, there's nothing wrong with Menifee. There's nothing wrong with, and we just moved to Wildomar this year. It's the same shit, but it's so calm and peaceful. It's just an hour away from LA. I can drive here often. No problem. Like,
yeah, it's not too far. It's sad that people think they have to be in the center of it. It's like, no, you can live an hour away. You just have to be okay to make that hour trip. And so, at least you learn from it. You note it. You're like, all right, I'm not going to make that mistake again. You know, the people that fuck up hard are the people that don't understand. They're like, oh, those people were bad. Let me go find another person that will scam me again. And they do the cycle over and they're at, and they, it's funny because they ask like, why does this keep happening to me? Because you keep having the same fucking mistakes. And I feel bad for those people because it's like they do get taken advantage. Like us, we come from a small town. You go hit the city. You don't do your research. You don't find out. You know what I mean? Like now it's like there's resources. So you can look up, you know, what scams are and stuff like that. But, you know, from a small town, you don't know. No one teaches you that shit.
Exactly. Like I wasn't, I'm being stubborn me and being like, oh, what do I have to lose? Like, and I find these people on backstage.com. I find these people on starnow.com. These websites are most likely scams. Like there's a lot of scam auditions and scam A&Rs and producers that claim to be these people affiliated with these record labels, but really that's not true.
Yeah.
They just post shit to lure in young boys and girls and rip off their money. There's a lot of people like that. I should have done my research, but I learned a lot for real. Like if even though I look back at it like negatively, I should think at it positively and think, you know, this is an experience. Like it was meant to happen. If it didn't happen, I would have stayed naive and oblivious and gullible, and I wouldn't have been so observant as I am today. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. You would have not been what half of you are now with knowledge wise. Like you're more cautious, you're more secure. You know what I mean? What I like about you more so much is like you know specifically what the fuck you want, which is such and a lot of people think it's, you know, sometimes, you know, depending who you are, some people are like, oh, that person's like, you know, stubborn and stuff like that. No, depending on what kind of fucking project, if you can't handle somebody telling you exactly what they want, then you're probably not supposed to be in that position. For me, I love that because it's like, you know exactly what the fuck you want. Like you're like, hey, I want this to sound this is that. Great, I'll make it happen. You know what I mean? Instead of somebody that's like, yeah, do whatever you want. That is like the curse for me because I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do whatever. Yeah, I'll do whatever I want, all right? But then if you don't
that
like...
That comes off, don't you think, Raul, like it comes off as passive aggressive? If, excuse me, if someone's saying, do whatever you want, I don't care. Like, I mean, that's cool. I love listening to people's visions. Like, I love ideas, this and that.
Right.
But if you're going to make me do something that I don't want to do personally, it doesn't fit or it doesn't sound good. It's just not there. I am going to be straight up. But a lot of people are not straight up. They're passive aggressive and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, it's fine. That's how I was back then. Not going to lie. I was very passive aggressive. I am guilty of it sometimes now, but it's gotten way better than before. Like if someone was arguing with me, I would just sit there and listen and be like, okay, yeah, like, and it would hurt me, like, but I wouldn't right. show it. I wouldn't yell or be like, hey, shut up. Or like, you know, there would be people like that A&R guy, whoever the fuck he is. He's telling me, let's do this with your voice. Let's do that. Let's make you sound more like Sarah Vaughan, or, you know, bring out this, like, be more sexy, this and that. I was okay with that. I'm thinking, okay, he knows more than I do. I should listen to him. But then eventually it hit me and it's like, no, what is he talking about? That's not me. That's mm-hmm. not me. Like, I need to stand up. You got to stand up and say what you want. Of course, you don't know everything. Nobody knows everything, but stand your ground. It doesn't hurt to speak up. And if that person in front of you is offended by how you spoke up about it, that's their problem, not yours.
Right.
You're standing up for yourself instead of being passive aggressive and holding it in. Because the more you hold it in, the worse it is. You're going to break down. You're going to go through guilt trips, or it's too much stress, too much stress.
Yeah, too much stress to worry about someone else.
We're this small to be stressed, you know?
Yeah, no, it takes, when you're stressed out, it takes out so much energy out of you when you could have put that into what project you wanted to. No, mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Yeah, that's why it's like when people go try to, you know, when they hunt record deals, especially when they have no following, that scares me because they don't have, you know, once you're in the foot of the record label and you have no leverage, you're fucked. They're going to control you wherever they want and you have no word. You know what I mean? That's the thing is I fear the most with a lot of new artists. They were like, oh, let me get that record deal. Let me get that record deal. It's like, no, you shouldn't have to.
You don't need it. That I realized 2 years ago, you don't need it. If you don't have a team, it's like, what's the point? If you don't have people listening and loving your stuff, what's the point? If you don't have people appreciating you, valuing your craft, what's the point? You know, you're going to get ripped off. You're going to get screwed over and you're going to have to pay back so much money. I don't know if you look at it this way. I watched a video not long ago, but it's it stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And after interning with those guys from, you know, who manage Lil Pump and
yeah.
Dominic Fike and all that, after being with them, I realized record labels can be banks. They kind of resemble banks. You know
how? Oh, yeah, they give you a loan.
Yeah,
a deal is a loan.
You gotta pay it back.
And some, yeah, you know what I mean? With interest too. You uh-huh. know, they're not just going to get the loan back and stuff.
Yeah, that was my phone. But yeah, I realized that and I'm like, oh shit, that makes sense now. But it depends what you're signing. You can sign something that works well and you're earning a lot back and you're not being screwed over. It just takes a lot of people to go over shit with you and, you know, lawyers and managers, whatever, but it's all on you as well and how you form that. You know, you got to have your team first. You got to have that backup, you know, people that, I don't know, they're just, I don't know a lot about, I'm still learning about the yeah. business and shit, but what I've grasped overall, like, as in a nutshell, is like, it's all just like a bank. It's a big bank. And you can leverage it all out yourself as an indie artist. But if you're going to want more and you want to, you know, expand and be this worldwide international artist, you can find a record label. There's good ones, you know,
Yeah, you can go indie. Indie's good and stuff. It's just what you want is the most control out of yourself. Which label is going to give you the most control of anything? And a lot of them, you know, it's very hard, especially the major labels, to give you a lot of, you know, it's instead, if unless you're somebody that has so many fans, you know, kind of like the example is like Russ like came in with a publishing deal, right? But he has control of everything. He has control, not everything, but majority of his stuff. So it's like, you know, I mean, that's a perfect example, like, to go into a deal. And he explains that too with other videos on YouTube. He explains, like, you should go with leverage. If you don't have leverage, you're fucked. They're going to own you. They're going to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of work for you, you're going to work for them. And so, it just depends, you know. Some people just go solo. Some people don't even go with that. They go the strictly indie route and they still kill it. Yeah. They might not get the, you know, the crazy PR stuff, but they're still making a living. And I think that, I don't know about you, that's kind of more my goal, just to make a, you know, make a living out of it. Not, you know, would be awesome to go, you know, crazy, but, you know, I mean, just for now, it's like, you know, you just want to be able to keep doing your art.
Do you think it's like, even if you want to do it as a living, there's a lot of people that, you know, they want that attention, they want more people to notice them, but do you think it could be a trap? Like, I don't know, you're stuck in this bubble and you're at a certain level where people go nuts over you, and that's amazing. Like, you feel honored and all, and these people support you, but then it comes a time where it gets too stressful. I don't know how to explain it right. I may be like so off with this because my explanations are bad. But I don't know. Do you think it's like it could be a trap?
I think ultimately, if you want to become an artist, at least let's say us, let's say a singer or a producer, there has to be some psychological thing when you're a child that this, you wanted attention, right? Regardless, people can deny this, but I think it's so, like, for me, you know, when, you know, growing up with a single mom that had to work all the time, it was hard. It was hard at moments. So it's like, with this, it's nice because you become an artist, you get some sort of attention, whether it's, you know, love, you know, physical or anything like that. It's just, it's some sort of feeling that you've never had when you were a kid. So I feel like us artists, most of us seek that, right? Yeah. So that's when you want to try to get to that level. But people that I feel like that have that in control, for sure. There's a lot of people that, you know, they'll deny, like, oh, I don't have that. But I think it's bullshit. I think it's just whole denial. But a lot of, you know, I think the upper echelon, the ones that last longer, had that control. So they know how to maintain it. They're like, hey, okay, great. I'm getting all this attention. I'll use it, but I'm not going to, you know, take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you take advantage of it, I think that's going to bite you back and you become a victim of it. So what do you feel towards that?
What do I feel towards attention?
Yeah, for as an artist.
I'm fine.
Yeah. But no, you're
like,
good.
I'm fine. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm just I swear to you, this is just me. I've learned to accept in any situation, like drama or fighting, whatever. Okay. Like, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm an advocate for human rights, bro. If I see like war and some shit going on in the world, like, that pisses me off, right? Like, you want to stand up for human rights, you want to go protest this and that, but, you know, I digress. About like what I mean is when you socialize with people and, you know, let's say they're arguing or there's drama or there's something, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
That same attitude, that okay attitude, that's how I am with attention. But I'm nobody, dude. Like, for it's not a lot. But if, let's say, if I were to ever, have a lot of fans, which shouldn't be called fans, but a lot of people that admire my work, that admire my stuff and admire me as a human being and being talented and performing and whatever, I would feel honored, honestly. Like that's amazing to me.
For
Like
sure.
I'll be like, okay, but at the same time, there's something inside that sparks, and it's like, wow, people actually love me and they actually appreciate what I do and what my music and how I perform and how I am as this person and what I wear, whatever. I don't know. You gotta have a very kickback attitude about it, and like for now, but I don't know how a lot of artists, people feel different about it. People have different perspectives. They feel different about attention. People hate it. People love it.
Right.
There's people that are neutral about it. I'm one of the neutral ones. I don't know. Like,
Yeah,
we're
same
all
here.
human beings. It's fine. Like, I love your work too. I love this person too. And I admire this person. It's like we admire each other. It's like we shouldn't be treating each other as gods or put each other on pedestals. Like, we're all just human beings making shit. That's how human beings are. We create, then destroy. We create, then destroy. It's like it's the same thing. I don't know if I
No,
explain.
I totally agree. Especially when me, what's scary is when people become obsessive. Like when you say God, that's like, when they're like, oh my God, Mariah Carey is like God. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Man, Kanye West. Oh. Oh my God. It's
I
like, bro, don't do that. Like, nobody is a god.
Nobody's a God. I think they're
Nobody.
super talented. Yeah, they're very,
Yeah, hardworking and ambitious
hardworking.
and shit.
But a God, I was like the other day, I was just looking up because BTS is going to be here in LA. And I was like amazed, super amazed. The fans, their fans are like, there's this one person that's like, I'm flying from Thailand. I'm trying to get tickets. Like they're willing to, sell their family for these tickets. I was just like, wow, this is obsession from another level. Like that's what's crazy. But
Have you, dude, have you ever been obsessed with, like, have you ever had a celeb crush or, like, have you ever been obsessed with anyone at some point?
Man, I'm trying to think really hard. Like, I think you get moments. Like, I think I was really obsessed with. I would say, yeah, I would say I was really obsessed with Mariah Carey at a moment when I was a kid. I was just like, man, this chick is like phenomenal. She's amazing and stuff like that. But I never got to the point that like I was crying to get a ticket. Like I would never beg my mom for a ticket or anything like that. Nothing. I never got, because you know what? It's weird. I think my mom never let us have that. My mom never let us be possessive of something. Like whether it's like, she put a lot more fear in us, but she never wanted us to be obsessive with anything, whether it's drugs or alcohol or anything
Oh,
like
yeah.
that, or just in general with people. Like she was like, my mom was very modest. She wanted to kind of keep our emotions neutral, which now it's different. We're more loving and all that, but it was, I think that's
Yeah.
what helped. Were you ever obsessed with it, certain things, like with people, food?
I was obsessed with anime at some point. It was my otaku phase. Like, I don't know. Remember, I don't know if you know those terms in anime, weeaboo or weeabo, or I may be wrong about it, and otaku. So I don't know what the difference is exactly, but I just call it my otaku anime phase. It was also a very it was a moment in my life. It started when I was 12 up until I was 15. And then I realized at some point around 15 that this is getting out of hand and I should stop because it's not normal.
So you
Like,
self-controlled yourself.
I control myself. Yeah, and mom pointed it out and she's like, you need to stop talking to anime characters as if they're real people. Like it's not normal. Because I did that. I loved anime. I loved Kingdom Hearts. I love Final. I still love Final Fantasy. That's my favorite video game of all time, Final Fantasy VII. But I had posters. I had artworks of different characters. I was lonely, dude. I was homeschooled, alone. I didn't have a lot of friends. I felt really isolated. And I just found these characters and these games and anime shows as my coping mechanism, along with music. Like I was, these games also gave me ideas, and like I was writing on the side. I wrote my first song that kind of is inspired from Kingdom Hearts. I'm just a nobody. Because there are characters in the Kingdom Hearts game called Nobodies. Mm-hmm. So that inspired me to like write that song. And like I would play the piano songs, the soundtracks, the music to those games and the anime shows is what also was part of the obsession. I loved the music. I still love the music from Final Fantasy. Noble Uematsu is a fucking genius.
Yeah. I think he won awards for that scoring of the whole game.
He did. Yeah. Dude, he's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest composers of all time. Mm-hmm. Like him and the video, the music composer for Kingdom Hearts. I forgot her name, but she's amazing too. So that was all part of the obsession. And I don't know, but I still hold the music dear to my heart. Like it's incredible. I advise anyone, even you, Rao, go listen to that. Please go listen to the music, dude. It's so fucking cool. But not just Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts, but Mario music, Donkey Kong music. Like, I don't know.
No, video game music is, it's, I think it's super, super underrated. And I think it excites
me.
Underappreciated. Like for me, I would play more like Call of Duty, but I even love the scoring of Call of Duty, even though it's a war game. You're just like, you know what I mean? You're blowing up shit, but the music behind you, you're just like, you're so energized. You feel like you're in the game and stuff like that. And I just think that's so underrated. I think it's the most underrated thing. Cause like, imagine Final Fantasy, you're playing that game with no music. Just sound effects.
You can't breathe. That's what Nobu Uematsu, that's what Nobu said. He mentioned that. He's like, I give the oxygen in the games. If there's no oxygen, no one can play it. They can't breathe, you know? He brought it up in one of his interviews, and I'm like, dude, that's exactly like the way he just described it. I can't breathe without the music, you know? So that was a part of the obsession, but I still love the music. And what's so funny is the Donkey Kong music. I don't know if you played the games Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo.
No, I haven't played it.
You've never played.
I think I played. See, I'm not a huge like video game. I was for like a second, and then I found music, and I was just like, I was so obsessed with music when I was like I think I got my first computer when I was 16, and I was like, okay, how can I pirate? You know, because I can't afford it. And so I worked my ass off to actually, you know, cut lawns and all that stuff, do chores, and finally I got FL Studio, and that's when it took over. But video games, I did admire. I loved Crash Bandicoot. That was my favorite game.
Oh my God. I used to play it a few times as a kid. I still have the game, and I have the old PS1.
Oh, nice.
But Mario and Donkey Kong were different. Like that was like a huge part of my childhood. And most of the music too, it's so nostalgic. Mm-hmm. So Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2, the third one, not so much. It has some good sounds in it, but the first two ones on the SNES,
amazing. That,
dude, the music is a part of why I want to be in music. Like why it's like, it also inspired my brother to be, you know, a producer, to just be in music. Like if you go and listen to the soundtrack, it's like, so it's like, how the fuck did that come out of a Super Nintendo? You know, like it was way ahead of its time back then for the 90s. It was like way ahead of its time. So I just love the sounds of video games and films, of course, but video games, it's different. it hits different.
But that's awesome. You grab that and you turn it into your passion. You're just like, man, that, or your inspiration. You know, you know what's crazy? I don't hear that much. I don't hear people say, oh, I play this game and it changed me forever when it came to music.
Really?
Like a lot of people are like, oh, Lenny, when I listened to Lenny Kravitz, I always wanted to pick up a guitar, or, you know, if I, you know, heard a Elton John song, I was like, man, I was so inspired being a, you know, play piano. Yeah. But for you, that's why I was like, oh, this is amazing. Cause not a lot of people say that they're inspired by video games to make music. You know, they're like, oh, I play that video game, but they're talking about graphics and the art of it.
Yeah, dude, I don't even produce music, but like, I just love hearing and getting sampling ideas and like just playing them on the piano and creating my own theme songs for characters, or making my own, I don't know, but video game music, I'm inspired by artists too, like MJ, James Brown, Lady Gaga, Freddie Mercury, all of these people, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the sounds of music, soundtracks, OSTs, it's in video games, like, I don't know.
It's a whole nother level. It's like with movies too. Like scoring for movies is like their own style, or their own specific style, and video games are different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I totally feel you. And I think you could hear that with your music now. It's very artistic, if that, in a sense, if you get it. It's not vanilla, you know what I mean? Like when you listen to vanilla music, you're like, oh, this is so, you know, so simple. Sugar. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking. It's sugar with the fucking mochis and like gummy bears and fucking chocolate sprinkles. I don't know.
To watch the full episode of the Sugar Crave Show, go to the link down below on my Patreon. It's only $1, guys, and you'll see everything. You'll see all behind the scenes, all the unreleased music, and all unedited versions of this podcast. Until then, I'll see you in the next one. She's the punchline. Outside at the midnight, I'm fine. Overwhelmed enough, her mind is fried.